This is Rural Health Leadership Radio.
Episode 65, a conversation with Leslie Hall, Executive Director of the Michigan Rural EMS Network.
I think it's very, very important that hospital leaders and hospital personnel are really exposed to what EMS does outside of the hospital setting.
Welcome to the Rural Health Leadership Radio with your host, Dr. Bill Oxier. Each week, Dr. Oxier has a conversation with a different rural health leader to discuss what's working and what's not working in rural health, along with other topics of interest to rural health leaders. Rural Health Leadership Radio's goal is to improve health in rural America by providing a simple, no-cost means to share information and connect rural health leaders from around the country. And now, here's Dr. Oxier with today's guest.
Hi, everybody. I am your host, Dr. Bill Oxier, and welcome to this week's episode of Rural Health Leadership Radio. As usual, I'd like to thank the Dynamic Leadership Academy for Rural Health for underwriting the cost of today's podcast episode. I'm really looking forward to our conversation today with today's guest, Leslie Hall. Leslie is the Executive Director of the Michigan Rural EMS Network. Welcome to Rural Health Leadership Radio, Leslie.
Thank you so much, Bill, and thank you for having me today.
Oh, I've been looking forward to this conversation. We've been talking about doing this for a while, so I'm excited to hear about the things that you have to say about Rural EMS Network in Michigan. So, Leslie, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, what some of your history is and all that sort of thing? Who is Leslie Hall?
Well, I graduated from Central Michigan University with a bachelor's and a master's degree in public health education.
So you're Chippewa times two then?
Go Chips. Yes, I am. I forgot you were a Michigander. I've worked in a variety of capacities in the healthcare field, from performing research in family care and obstetric settings at a teaching cooperative between the hospitals in Saginaw, Michigan and Michigan State University, and also worked in sales and marketing in the healthcare field. I've been in my position as network director for MyREMS, or Michigan Rural EMS Network, for just over 10 years. When I first came on board, the organization was the Huron-Sanilac EMS Network. It was a two-county initiative that was made up of the 9 EMS services in Huron and Sanilac counties in the Thumb of Michigan. So with the help of grant funds from the Federal Office of Rural Health Policy, I used some of my networking and organizational development experience to lead the network to become incorporated and then a 501c3 organization. Yeah. And then in 2011, as a result of the successes that we saw in those two counties in the Thumb of Michigan, we applied for federal funding to expand to a statewide network. So I'm looking forward to many more years doing what I'm doing and expanding our programs.
Yeah, dramatic growth. So that's pretty cool. Thank you for sharing that with us. The name of this program is Rural Health Leadership Radio. So what is your definition of leadership, Leslie?
I think that leadership is really having a vision that you can clearly communicate, and then having the passion to translate that vision into reality. I also believe that it's recognizing your own shortcomings and cultivating and inspiring others that have strength in those areas to complement your own strengths.
I like in your opening sentence of that definition, you had three words that I always love: vision, communicate, and passion. So thank you for sharing that definition with us. So
sure. Thank you.
You started to touch on this a little bit, but can you tell us about your journey in becoming the executive director of the Rural Michigan EMS Network?
Well, in my work history, it has been quite varied in a number of health-related disciplines. But my experience has involved a number of opportunities that have allowed me to facilitate networks of professionals from a variety of disciplines. And often those professionals had very different backgrounds and ideas. So in these situations, I feel I became very adept at finding common ground and bringing focus to cooperative work, and overcoming challenges and barriers along the way as well. These opportunities that I had in facilitating that networking, as well as my experience in sales and marketing, I believe have really allowed me to fine-tune my relationship building skills. And those abilities combined, I think, were what was really needed when I joined the organization back in 2007, and have been critical, really, in the growth and sustainability of Michigan Rural EMS Network.
Yeah, you're obviously doing something right at the rate that your organization has grown since you came there. So that's pretty incredible.
Thank you.
You did give us a very brief overview of the organization, but can you give us a little bit more expansive overview of the organization?
Sure. Michigan Rural EMS Network, or MIREMS, we're a nonprofit organization, a federal 501c3. We essentially provide support for EMS professionals and EMS agencies that provide pre-hospital care in rural Michigan. So we bring events and opportunities, resources, technical assistance, and such to rural EMS professionals and the companies for which they work. We are very in tune with the professionals and the agency leaders that we serve, and we do a variety of surveying to determine what their needs are, and then we base our programming and services around those stated needs. We're also a membership organization. Membership is open to any individual or agency, either urban or rural, with an interest in quality pre-hospital care that originates in rural Michigan.
And so you cover, it's for the entire state, the Upper Peninsula and the Lower Peninsula, that you provide all these services?
That's correct. We focus on rural areas, and much of our funding comes from federal grants through Department of Health and Human Services, okay. Health Resources Services Administration. And as such, many of the programs and services that we provide have to meet the Office of Rural Health Policy definition for rural. Okay. And so there are many areas that we would love to serve that appear on the surface to be rural, but they're not defined by that particular department as federal. And so anytime we work in those areas, we have to use our own operating funds.
Understood. Okay, great. Well, thank you for that overview. When we talked before, you talked about this cardiac resuscitation program that you've been implementing. Can you tell us about that?
I sure can. Our cardiac resuscitation program is called MyRescue, or Michigan Resuscitation Consortium, and it was developed in partnership with the Resuscitation Academy out of Seattle, King County, Washington. And that Resuscitation Academy in Seattle, King County, is a national organization that's committed to the development and implementation of strategies and systems that increase survival in witness VFib. So they have seen their rates from survival rates, I'm sorry, in instances of witness VFib climb well above the national average of 8% to over 65%. And so what we've done is we've incorporated the concepts developed by that Resuscitation Academy into a Michigan model for implementation. And the crux of this program is quality CPR to improve the survival from cardiac arrest. Studies demonstrate that when CPR is performed according to guidelines, the chances for successful resuscitation are increase substantially. So we focus on high performance CPR as developed by Seattle, King County, Washington, to minimize breaks and compression, focus on full chest recoil, adequate compression depth, and adequate compression rate. So those are all components of high performance CPR that can increase survival from cardiac arrest. And so this high performance CPR utilizes a team method that revolves around tight coordination and communication among BLS providers and ALS providers. So it's really a pit crew approach to deliver high quality chest compressions with minimal interruptions. So we have been training EMS providers in high performance CPR and then implementing other system changes such as dispatch assisted CPR, community CPR initiatives, law enforcement CPR. And we hope to begin to realize survival rates close to what Seattle King County has been able to achieve. We're currently working with teams in 22 rural communities, or I'm sorry, rural counties in Michigan, and have placed nearly 100 AEDs through this program, trained hundreds of EMS professionals in high-performance CPR, and have taught hands-only CPR to thousands of community members. Wow. It's been a very exciting initiative for us.
Yeah, very impressive. We've seen. Have you been doing this long enough to start collecting data to see what your metrics are showing? Any improvement, that sort of thing?
Well, that's what we're working on now. We have 1 year left in this federal grant to support this program, and we're starting to look at the data. We've been working with our communities, those 22 rural counties, to submit their data to the cardiac arrest registry or the CARES registry. Mm-hmm. So we'll be looking at that data very soon and hope to have some exciting numbers to share.
Excellent. That's a very interesting program. Thanks for telling us about that.
Sure. Thank you.
So, you know, one of the things that we always talk about in rural health is recruiting and retaining the type of people, the type of professionals that we need. Can you tell us about what's going on with recruiting and retaining rural EMS staff?
Yes, I can. Well, back in 2004, when we were the Huron-Sanilac EMS network, we had some seed money from the Michigan Center for Rural Health to work on recruitment and retention efforts with those 9 EMS agencies in the Thumb of Michigan. So over a 5-year period that we worked on this recruitment and retention effort with these agencies, we saw a significant increase in personnel numbers. Total active licenses were increased by 85, and we saw 56 new medical first responders and 30 new paramedics in that 2-county area. So in 2010, MIREM did a statewide rural EMS survey, and the results from that survey indicated that one of the greatest challenges faced by rural EMS agencies is a shortage of EMS professionals. So what we did is we created a toolkit, and that was done with funding assistance from Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. And this toolkit was developed to help EMS leaders really identify best practices for recruitment and retention of EMS professionals. The toolkit outlines a process that's based on a variety of best practice resources, including resources from FEMA, North Dakota Rural EMS Improvement Project, and the Virginia Department of Health. And the toolkit is designed as a problem-solving method with 2 phases. The first phase is for the agency leader to assess, and then the phase 2 is planning and action. And to make this process, or the toolkit, really easier to use, we broke the process down into manageable steps. And what we did was we've disseminated over 300 toolkits across rural Michigan, and we're able to provide technical assistance to many agency leaders in how to use and implement this toolkit. And our hope is that we will be able to continue that effort. Funding has been an issue to support staff to go out and continue that technical assistance. But we found that the EMS agency leaders really need someone to help them through that toolkit process because of the many different hats and responsibilities that they juggle.
Yeah, there's always more than enough hats to go around, isn't there, in rural health?
Yeah, there is. We also, since the beginning of the year, I've been chairing a recruitment and retention EMS work group along with individuals from Michigan Center for Rural Health, Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, and Michigan Association of Ambulance Services, as well as various EMS agency leaders. We're working on some toolkits for agencies, as well as a marketing campaign that will drive interest in EMS as a professional career choice. So we're excited about that.
Yeah, that's great that you're giving the folks out there these toolkits, you know, to actually do this instead of just giving advice or strategies or something. You're actually giving them the tools to get it done. So that's impressive. Those toolkits for recruiting and retaining are impressive. What other initiatives have you been working on?
Well, we like to, again, focus our initiatives on things that we find through surveying, questionnaires, and in talking with agency leaders and EMS professionals, what their needs are. And one of the things that came out of some of our surveying was that rural professionals really have difficulty accessing continuing education, either because they can't get the time away because rosters are short or because of funding. So we're in the process of developing rural continuing education days and bringing those to the communities so that they can achieve that continuing education without going far from home. Okay. We've also been involved in the community paramedicine initiative in Michigan for several years now, actually, and are actively involved in the community paramedicine work group at the state level. We host a conference each year called EMS Summit, and that's a continuing education conference for EMS professionals to maintain their licensure. But this year we're looking at doing things a little bit differently, and we would like to hold a one-day EMS Summit for stakeholders and EMS agency leaders to discuss timely topics that impact rural EMS, and then start doing some strategic planning on how we're going to collaboratively address those issues.
Interesting. Very interesting. How can interested individuals or organizations support the work that your organization, the Michigan Rural EMS Network, is doing?
Well, we're a very small organization, and we actually only have one full-time individual and one part-time office manager, business manager. And so we're always looking for ways to work with other agencies to leverage the resources that we have. So an agency leader that has an interest in the delivery of pre-hospital care in rural areas could always reach out to us to work together on projects. We are also, as I said earlier, a membership organization. And so individuals can go to our website, which is www.miremes.org, to find more information about membership, and they can support us in that way. And we also are always looking for volunteers that may want to serve on perhaps committees like our education committee to help plan educational events, or even EMS instructors, physicians or nurses that are interested in providing continuing education in conjunction with MIREMS.
So there's a lot of ways that people can get involved. And plus, if anybody wants to reach out to Leslie, you can always send an email to me at bill@billoxier.com, and I can connect you as well. So thank you. So what about leadership development and leadership skills?
Leadership skills really are imperative to running a successful EMS agency. And what I have found in my tenure as executive director of MIREMS is that many rural EMS agency leaders have been placed in their position by default and not because of a structured career ladder. Often it's that no one else will step up and take responsibility. And so oftentimes these individuals aren't adequately trained in leadership skills and don't have opportunities for leadership development. And so in the past at our EMS Summit, we've provided several leadership tracks. We've also supported leadership academies that are put on by Michigan Center for Rural Health. And they put those Those are those take place in Mount Pleasant at the Soaring Eagle Casino semi-annually. And then we also look for other ways to meet the needs of rural EMS agencies, develop programs that they tell us they need. So as part of that regional continuing education program, we're looking at ways that we can incorporate leadership development into those.
Excellent. That's, you know, leadership makes the difference, Leslie.
It does.
So in your opinion, you know, you've spent quite a few years working in this space. In your opinion, what do rural EMS leaders need to do differently?
Well, I think because rural EMS services typically struggle with less resources than their urban counterparts, a rural EMS leader really needs to have a high level of understanding of all facets of agency operations. It's important for them to accept that they can't do everything by themselves and that they need to reach out to others that can help support them either within their own agency or even outside of their agency to provide resources or wisdom or education about different facets of agency operation. I think they really need to remain flexible and willing to accept change as the healthcare landscape continues to evolve. It's been my experience that many EMS agency leaders are kind of stuck in, you know, well, this is the way it's always been done. And I think that it's imperative that leaders cooperate and collaborate closely with neighboring agencies and other stakeholders in order to best serve their community. This could look like things like sharing of vehicles or equipment, maybe cooperative education opportunities, or even collaborative work on key policies.
Yeah, it's never good when the answer to the question is because that's the way we've always done it, right?
Right. I think that another thing that EMS leaders really could benefit from is learning to be more comfortable and becoming more skilled in promoting their agency to the community and also to their legislators. I don't think we do a good enough job in promoting ourselves.
Yeah, good advice. Thank you. You're on a roll here giving us advice here, Leslie. So
I hope you don't get too many phone calls.
What advice do you have for rural hospital leaders? You know, you deal with leaders of rural health clinics. You deal with leaders of rural hospitals and providers. What advice do you have for them to work more effectively with their respective EMS agency?
I think it's very, very important that hospital leaders and hospital personnel are really exposed to what EMS does outside of the hospital setting. I think it would be so beneficial for them to understand the level of knowledge that EMS providers have in initial education and the skills that they need to maintain their licensure, the standards that they need to uphold in education, and really what the difference is in their clinical environment. So in provision of EMS services, pre-hospital care might be provided in a ditch that's filled with water with a patient suspended in an overturned vehicle, or maybe it's being provided on a sports field or at a crime scene or bar with intoxicated patrons looking on, you know. So I think it's important that that the hospital personnel really understands that the clinical setting for EMS professionals is always changing. And I think it's important for rural hospital leaders really to actively seek or create opportunities in which they can work with EMS and understand what they do. And I think this could be accomplished in a number of ways. Some that come to mind are maybe ride along with EMS agencies, training opportunities that include both hospital staff and EMS, collaborative grand rounds. Hospital physicians might look for opportunities to provide local or regional continuing education. And also very important for hospital leaders to understand how their local agencies operate. you know, whether the agencies in their area that transport patients to their hospital are career agencies or volunteer, whether they're struggling to maintain adequate rosters, you know, what their financial situation is, and what types resources they could maybe benefit from in terms of, well, always financial resources, but also maybe it's equipment sharing or staff sharing in some ways. There's always opportunities to understand one another better and look for opportunities to work together.
Great advice. You know, I just a couple episodes ago had Tim Putnam was our guest here, and he's the CEO of a rural hospital in Indiana. And Tim, if I recall this correctly, Tim and his 19-year-old daughter took a EMS course, and they do ride along in providing EMS service in their community. He said it gives him a great perspective and great deal of respect for the work being done in that area.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, well, what scares you the most about the future of rural EMS services, Leslie?
Well, of course, recruitment and retention of qualified EMS professionals is going to continue to be a challenge, and that scares me for the communities that they serve. Unless we're able to make a significant improvement and significant impact, you know, it's a very real possibility that there may not be enough EMS providers to staff rosters. So as a result of that, response times could be longer, and that obviously could negatively impact patient morbidity and mortality. Federal funding is a concern, and we're still not certain really how things are going to shake out with the new administration, and whether funding that has been open to EMS, whether that will continue to be an opportunity or not. I think it's so important that EMS mobilizes and educates leaders, legislators about the challenges of financial viability for rural agencies, to really bring to the forefront the need for funding in rural EMS. And then the other very scary thing is insurance reimbursement. Insurance companies often don't see the value of services that are provided by EMS, and so they aren't adequately addressing reimbursement rates. For instance, there has not been a Medicaid increase to ambulance providers in over a decade. Oh, wow. And that's scary stuff. I think that communities often see EMS as a right and not a privilege, and it's not until a local ambulance agency goes out of business that, you know, they start to see the impact in response times. And
that's scary.
It is.
Well, let me ask you the opposite question. What excites you the most about the future of rural EMS services?
I love that rural EMS leaders are creative and that they have a passion for the communities that they serve. You know, they're often very vested in their community, very active participants in their community. And rural EMS agency leaders are really learning to think outside the way things have been done in the past, and they're embracing new opportunities that will enhance service in their communities and ultimately save lives. That's very exciting. And EMS is starting to mobilize in a way that I haven't seen before. And so I'm very excited that this will result in a better understanding of the challenges and professionalism of EMS. Hopefully a better career ladder with better pay for EMS professionals, and better funding opportunities and reimbursement. All of these things combined will lead to improved patient outcomes in rural areas.
And that's exciting.
It is exciting.
It truly is. Well, just like a speeding ambulance taking a patient to the care they need, the time has flown by here, Leslie. If our listeners only take one thing away from our conversation today, what should that be?
That the provision of EMS in rural areas is often very challenging. And I think it's great to look for ways to learn more about your local EMS agency, who runs it, what their challenges are and what opportunities they have to work together.
Leslie Hall, the Executive Director of Michigan Rural EMS Network, thank you so much for being a guest here on Rural Health Leadership Radio today.
Thank you so much for having me, Bill.
And thank all of you for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please go to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, whatever your favorite podcast app might be, and subscribe to Rural Health Leadership Radio. To continue the conversation of leadership in rural health, you can join our LinkedIn group called Rural Health Leadership Radio. Until next week, let's keep working to improve rural health care, one conversation at a time.
If you would like to connect with today's guest, please send an email with your contact information to bill@billoxier.com. If you would like to be a guest or suggest someone else as a guest, have a question you would like to ask, or simply want to contact Rural Health Leadership Radio, please use that same email address, bill@billoxier.com. That's bill@billoxier.com. You can also visit our website at www.rhlradio.com.
We'd ask that you please support our sponsor, the Dynamic Leadership Academy for Rural Health. The Dynamic Leadership Academy for Rural Health's mission is to improve rural health, one leader at a time.